The reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 3. If you would like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 59. Page 59 in the Pew Bibles, Exodus chapter 3. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in the house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, this is our all-age talk, and normally it involves something visual to keep your attention or to illustrate what I'm talking about. And if there's ever been a Bible passage that has given me license to have fire in church, it's this one. In fact, just in case, the fire... bit buzzing. Can you hear that? I don't know if it's this microphone or this one. Anyway, just in case, the fire exit is behind you. There's one over there. And you guys in the front, there's one over there that you might have to run through the fire. I've also spoken to someone. We've got a fire blanket here at the front. Malcolm's ready with a fire extinguisher if need be. Okay, but before we get there, I thought I could warm you up. So to warm you up, I want you to try and see if you know the melting point of gold. So do you think it's more than 500 degrees Celsius or less than? Who says more than? Who says less than? Oh, you guys, less than wrong. It is 1,064 degrees Celsius. To try and help you understand that, it's 27 times hotter than your average cup of tea. Got it? How about iron? Do you think iron's melting point is higher than gold's? Yeah, definitely. So it's 1,538 degrees Celsius. That's 40 times hotter than your average cup of tea. Now, so that's iron and gold, important elements. The other important element is the melting point of Lego. By the way, children, whatever I do today, don't try this at home. Okay. I showed it to you. Melting point of Lego is 105 degrees Celsius. So that's three times hotter than your average cup of tea. That's pretty impressive. But what's the melting temperature of bush? I had to try and look at wood. It's actually, anyone have a guess, less than 500 degrees or more than 500 degrees? Who says less than? Who says more than? Wood burns at 871 degrees Celsius. But I don't know if bush is... because it's got leaves on. But what we're going to have a look at is a bush that burns, that doesn't burn. And that's what Moses comes across. He sees a bush that burns, that doesn't burn. Here we go. But who is Moses? Moses started off life. He was a Hebrew. He was born in Egypt. The Egyptian king ordered, and this is terrible for baptism, but he ordered the execution of all male children in Egypt. It was really bad. It was tough for the Egyptians. But Moses, through circumstances, got rescued and ended up being a prince, a minor prince, but in the house of Pharaoh. But then he did something terrible, killed someone in a fit of anger, had to flee. So he went from a hero to a zero. And now he's 80 years old. He's a shepherd in the middle of the desert. He knows he's not home. In fact, his son's name means... what does Edward mean? Do you know? What does his name mean? Do you know what it is? We don't really... we just like the sound of names. But to people in the Hebrews, the names meant something. And in fact, Moses said, your name will be, I'm not home yet, basically. And so Moses is very aware that he's not where he needs to be. But this 80-year-old shepherd... is out being a shepherd, and this is what I want you to see. He suddenly sees a strange sight, and this is what he sees. This is verses 2 and 3, and I want you to see, Bible kind of makes a point of what's going on. In fact, if you have a look at it, it says, Moses and the burning bush is the heading. But actually, that's not been put in by God. That's just sort of something the editors have done. And it's probably a typo because it should be Moses and the unburning bush or Moses and the burning unburning bush. Well, anyway, have a look at verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from the bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And so Moses goes to see the strange sight of a bush that doesn't burn but burns. So I'm going to do my experiment. Everyone be ready. If I don't make it, the fire risk assessment, I've sent a copy to my wife. So here's a fire blanket over here, put it over here. Are you guys ready? Okay, step back. Well, that's not really impressive, is it? Okay, so what I thought we could do instead is here's my bush. I've worked hard on it. Malcolm's coming up in case there's an accident. This is my fancy bush. It's not the right color. I'm gonna make it burn, but not burn. Okay. Isn't that amazing? It's not burning at all. It's burning, but not burning. Right? Okay. I can't make it work. I can't burn something without burning it up. I think that bush's days are over. Let's just. So we'll try something a little bit better later because I think that didn't work. Thanks, Malcolm. You can be ready next. The strange thing is, how does something burn but not burn? I mean, we're quite aware that we need fuel to heat our homes, right? There's a bit of a crisis at the moment. But here is something that's not using up energy and burning. So clearly, is not God just saying, look how cool I am, or look how hot I am. He's showing us something, and that's what we want to look at. What is it about this bush that burns that doesn't burn? And one of the things, we're going to look at two options, or it could be both, but one of the things that's going on here is God's people that love God, are slaves in Egypt, and they're crying out. So actually, as Dorothy read crying out, I think Edward illustrated crying out brilliantly. They're crying and saying, please help us. And God says to him in that passage that we read, I've heard my people, and I want you to go rescue them. And Moses is a bit scared because he's saying, who am I? I'm a nobody. Imagine an 80-year-old shepherd in Siberia goes into the Kremlin, I don't know if that's, and speaks to Vladimir Putin and says, look, you need to stop this war. In fact, you need to step down. How do you think that would go down? Not well. Not well. And this is what Moses has to do. And God's saying, no, I'm going to rescue my people. Trust me, I am with you. And you can tell them that I am. Which is his personal name sent you. And so one of the things that we're going to see is that as God's people are suffering, they're going through a tough time in Egypt, they're going to get through. They're not going to be burnt up like the bush. And that's a thing that goes on through history. So throughout the Bible, God's people suffer and it looks like they're in the furnace, but they survive. In fact, if you've ever been to the Colosseum in Italy, there were thousands of Christians killed there because they believed in God, yet Christianity persevered. And Christians throughout history have persevered. And we now are God's people because we believe in the one that came to earth that said, I am Jesus Christ who died. And we'll have a look at that in a moment. But the point is, if you follow God, whatever furnace happens, whatever you're going through, I don't know what you're facing on Monday. Maybe a difficult classroom situation. Maybe you're not the most popular person at school. Maybe your home life is difficult. Maybe work's tough. Maybe there's family issues, loneliness, whatever. Here's a picture. Don't picture my picture of the bush that burnt up, but the one the Bible has, that you will get through it if you're with God. He is there, and he'll take you through the furnace. Okay, so I'm going to try something now. Malcolm, this is the one I'm worried about, the fire thing. So just fire blankets over there if you need to wrap me in them or something like that. Maybe we should have a drum roll. I tried this at home, and my son came in and said, "Get it outside!" So he was concerned about safety. When you say this, fire, is it good or bad? It's hard because it can be a brilliant tool for heating and clean, keeping things right, and it can be, in the wrong hands, devastating. And we've seen there's a devastating thing going on. There's a fire that's threatened to destroy the people that love God, and there always is. And we see God's picture here, a promise that they will get through. But there's another picture we see of God's, it comes throughout Exodus, of his holy fire. He's seen his fire. The big question is, if God is so good and powerful and holy, how can he live with people that mess up all the time? And the Bible's full of people. Moses murdered someone in a fit of anger. And so he messed up. We've just done a prayer that admits that we're not perfect. We mess up all the time. And the thing is, how can God have a relationship with us? Do I have to make myself perfect so I can have a relationship, be friends with God? And the Bible will give us an answer. But first of all, I thought, well, you know, a bush burning but not burning, one of the best things I can think about is water. You know, it's a baptism. We're thinking about water. So I've got water here, and I'm going to try this. So this is just water. Okay. Not turpentine or spirits or anything like that. Put it in there. Move that to the side. So we'll see how this goes. Okay, so don't try this at home. So should I try it again? Okay. Ooh, okay. Phew, it worked. When I did it at home, it spilt out onto the kitchen counter and looked bad, but quickly stopped. Something as strange as water burning, but actually you saw I sprayed something in it. Fire always needs something to burn, but we see it's great that it didn't destroy anything, right? That was small, and maybe if I kept... That's why Malcolm's saying there, because fire is dangerous, and we need to be protected. And the question throughout the Bible says, God is a holy fire. He cleans. He's powerful. And how can he be with people that keep messing up? And it's a question that keeps going on throughout the book of Exodus and the Bible. And you don't have an answer to it until one day God walks on earth. And when people say, "Who are you?" He says, "I am God. In fact, I am the same name that God gave Moses." And they try to stone him. In fact, they succeed eventually, and they kill God on earth on a cross. But he does something miraculous like that flame, and he survives. By the way, we're not doing that. The water's different for the baptism font, so you don't have to worry, okay? But what happens is how can people have a relationship with God? And the answer is Jesus Christ comes, and on the cross, he gets burnt. He gets burnt in our place. Willingly, God, in the form of a man, is on the cross, and has God's righteous fire poured on him so that you and I can be safe and have a relationship and not fear God. And so we see there's two things. So I've shown you there's a fire that you'll be kept through a fire if you trust that you're right with God through that. So one take, God is a fire. Think of the burning bush. He is holy, and yet his people can be secure. And whatever is on the outside, they'll persevere. I just want to end with a quote from one of my favorite books. It's called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's a great children's book. The guy that wrote it, C.S. Lewis, is a Christian, and he put Christian elements in it. And Aslan, who's sort of the main guy, is a sort of picture of God or Jesus. And I think it quite helpfully illustrates... He might have had this in mind when the book of Exodus. Because the one character, Lucy, says to Mr. Tumnus, "We're going to go meet Aslan." She says, "He's a lion. Is he safe?" And Mr. Tumnus smiles and said, "Safe? He's not safe, but he's good." And I want you to see the God we're in relationship with is powerful, like an all-consuming fire. He's the one that made the sun. He's impressive, but he's good. And because of Jesus, you can be friends with him and have a relationship with him, and he will look after you and protect you. So think of the burning bush, think of the fire as you face your next week. Help you get through your week, knowing that God will look after you, but also make you see that I can be right with God because Jesus was burnt in my place. Amen.